Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Gary Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun. Woo! Woo!
Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football! Let's play some football!
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field like when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, and welcome into Off the Edge on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Joe Gaither and J.R. Moore hanging out with you guys for the next hour, setting up the rest of the day with for the Jay Barker Show, Ryan Fowler, and then some Bama baseball right here on Tide 100.9. Having a lot of fun this morning. Going to have a pretty good little show today, I hope. We'll figure it out as we go along, as we always do. I want to remind you before we get going that the show is brought to you by Alabama Vintage. Go by and see Charlie in the Game at University Boulevard, the green awning. They've got hats, T-shirts. JR looks like he got that hat from Alabama Vintage. Looking really good.
Vintage.
Yes, sir. Alabama Vintage is the place for all your Alabama Crimson Tide apparel, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, any kind of Alabama apparel that you might be interested in. That's hard to find. Charlie's going to have it there at Alabama Vintage. And you can call us today on the Alabama VTG hotline at 205-342-9904. I want to get into several little topics, and we'll carry all the way through the rest of the show today. And if you hear something you want to get involved in, jump in and join us at 205-342-9904. Just a quick little update before we get really into it. Arkansas and Florida are currently in the top of the sixth inning, an elimination game in the SEC tournament. The weather looks beautiful up there today. So really, really, really excited to, I'm taking off about 2 o'clock today. I'm going to Hoover. I'm going to watch Alabama and Texas A&M with my friend Kim Rankin and Joey Blackwell, who we heard yesterday on the show. If you missed Joey Blackwell's baseball talk, you can hear it on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Oh, my goodness.
It looks like Arkansas has gone back-to-back home runs. Now 5-2 Florida in the top of the sixth inning. The Wu-Pig Sui just hit a big home run to go 5-1 now to 5-2. I think they hit back-to-back home runs just from looking at that. Arkansas trying to stay alive. Florida also trying to stay alive. Gators up 5-2 in the top of the sixth inning. Alabama looking like they're going to be playing about 4:30 today if the weather holds. And it looks like it will. Thank the Lord. So really excited to see what Alabama can do against Texas A&M. A&M winning the SEC West and pulling that number two seed in the tournament. But who was the last team that to beat A&M in a series? Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama winning 10-9, 8-4 in College Station in April, early April. So they were the last team to defeat the A&M in a series. So we'll see if they can do that, get after them again today. A&M, it'll be the first, JR, to realize it's the first athletic competition between Alabama and A&M since the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban dust-up. Wonder if it'll be contentious in the crowd in Hoover today. We'll see we'll report back after we see kind of what the temperature is in the stadium. Obviously, that's not – obviously, different sports and baseball, football. Definitely have a different flavor, but it'll be interesting to see those two teams hook up after the Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher dust up. I bet you it'll be interesting in every sport that those two schools are playing in.
Well, I don't know if you saw the PGA Championship, and the football thing did not matter to Justin Thomas. Professional golfer who went to the University of Alabama, still decided to call out Mr. Fisher over the weekend after winning. So, it may not matter.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Brad Bohannon, you know, if Alabama wins, if Coach Bo has a comment or so in the post game, or if any of his players have some sort of a smart thing to say after the game today. But I want to start and open up this can of worms, and yes, it will be a can of worms. We've got about 40-45 minutes to dive into it. Colin Kaepernick, 2 days ago, held a workout. Well, actually, he was invited to a workout. He wasn't Colin Kaepernick's workout. He was invited to work out for the Las Vegas Raiders. He was invited to work out for Josh McDaniels, new head coach for the Raiders. That's great. You can work out anybody you want. That's no problem. And my own personal thoughts on Colin Kaepernick may not line up with your personal thoughts on Colin Kaepernick. And that's the beautiful thing about radio and the beautiful thing about America. We can all have differences of opinion. I don't really care that he kneeled for the national anthem. That doesn't really bother me at all. I'm not one of those. It's like, you suck or you're great. I'm not praising him. I'm net neutral on that freedom. You know, I'm all about some freedom here. So roll tide, do what you want to do. Now, what happened afterwards, I do think there was a bit of unspoken, we're not bringing him in, whether you want to call that a blackballing or a banning of a league, or you want to say the NFL teams don't want to deal with that distraction, well, welcome to private business and welcome to the consequences of your own actions. I think that's a part of freedom. You have to live with your own actions. I have made many, many dumb decisions that have cost me in different ways, and I've just got to live with that. Now, that being said, I haven't really thought that Colin Kaepernick has been that interested in coming back into the league. Many times there have been avenues he could have probably explored the XFL and showed off his great skill. He could have been in with this USFL right here in Birmingham and showed off his skill. He could have gone to the CFL and shown off his skill. He could have accepted a backup quarterback role in the NFL for a backup quarterback salary in the NFL. But it seems like he's chosen not to take those routes. So I wonder, I have always wondered since then, do you really want to play football anymore? Or do you want to just say, they're not letting me back in? Because either way, I mean, he has become a prominent person in society and profited off of his protest, which, you know what, if you're going to take a stand, sometimes, you know, good things are going to come with that, as well as some bad things, as well as a lot of haters coming out of the woodwork and saying that, you know, you're disingenuous and this, that, and the other. But I don't know if he's really been motivated to get back into the league. Now, that all being said, all that being said, That's kind of all past. That's all kind of like set up for the discussion. He gets invited to for a workout for the Las Vegas Raiders. And we all know Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. You can see him on NBC Sunday Night Football week in and week out, kind of giving his take. And, you know, his lawyer, he's running that Pro Football Talk on Twitter and online. He lets out this opinion, and this is the discussion here. Colin Kaepernick, with time to knock off rust and prepare, would be a better quarterback option than the Seahawks, Panthers, Texans currently have. He would be better than any option the Seahawks, Panthers, and Texans currently have. He'd be better than any quarterback, sorry, to an end, that the Dolphins currently have. He'd possibly win the job in Atlanta, too. So this is his tweet on the 25th, 2 days ago at 7 p.m. A little too early to be hammered drunk, a little too early in the evening to blame it on any sort of thing. Says Colin Kaepernick would be a better quarterback than any of the options the Seahawks, Panthers, Texans, Dolphins, and Atlanta Falcons have. And we're just going to take these one by one. But before we do, I want to read Colin Kaepernick's final year in the NFL, his statistics, because many people have the misconception, oh, he was benched, but he started kneeling after he was benched and this, that, and the other. All right, his final year in the NFL was 2016, so he's been out of the league 17, 18, 19, 21, and this will be the sixth year, 5 years that he's been out of the league. He started 12 games that year. He went 1-10. He started 11 games, excuse me, and went 1-10 in that final season, completing right at 60% of his passes, 59% of his passes, 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. 16-4, that's what? 4-1 interception ratio. Obviously he has the ability to run as well. Let's see if I can pull up. Okay, rushing his final year. Rushing in his final year, he took off for 69 carries, 468 yards, and 2 touchdowns. His longest carry was 29 yards. All right, so there you go. 59% completion percentage, 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and a 1-10 starting record. All right, I don't really care about his opinion about the Seahawks. I don't really care about his opinion on the Panthers and the Texans, and really even the Atlanta Falcons. I think you can make some arguments with the Seahawks probably because they just traded for Drew Lock, and the Panthers have what, Sam Darnold. The Texans have Davis Mills. Is that correct? Davis Mills. And the Dolphins just lined up Marcus Mariota and the quarterback from Cincinnati, Desmond Ridder, as their two options in the quarterback room. All right, you can probably make some cases and arguments that Cap can compete in those rooms. Sure, I'm not really going to argue with you that much on those facts. Davis Mills is a second year player with the Texans, and you know he did okay. The Panthers, we've seen Sam Darnold really struggle outside of basically 1 year with the Jets. We haven't really seen Drew Lock do anything with the Seahawks or with the Broncos prior to getting traded, and we've seen Marcus Mariota be very, very average with the Titans, not play for the Raiders last year, and you know Desmond Ridder is going to be a rookie. So I can say those arguments. You can make those arguments. You can make those arguments with those handful of teams. But you're going to take out my man Tua? You're going to take out Tua Tagovailoa in the same diatribe? This same opinion? Let's read the Tua Tagovailoa stats from last year. From last year, he starts 12 games. He plays in 13. We remember he came in one of the games and tried to lead a good comeback, but he played in 13 games. He started 12. His record as a starter, 7-5. Now, obviously, you got to take into account, weapons and defense. I've always said wins are not a quarterback stat. That's fair. And so the record, if you want to hang on to the record, okay, you can do that as you can use that as your football judgment for quarterbacks. But I don't think that wins are quarterback stat. So let's compare the completion percentage. Last year, as a second-year player, Tua Tagovailoa completes right at 68% of his passes, 67.8. So you're up about 9 percentage points, 10 percentage points. He throws for 2,600 yards, which is 400 more yards than Colin Kaepernick in one more appearance, basically. basically. His touchdown to interception ratio, 16 to 10. So not as good. For you're looking at right about 4 to 2 or so, 4 to 3 for your touchdown to interception ratio. And so you've got a little bit of a question mark there with Tua. And then you don't really have the rushing upside with Tua Tagovailoa. 42 rushes, 128 rushing yards. 3 rushing touchdowns. So you got in the end zone one more time for Tua Tagovailoa. But let's just, I think there's a lot of context that goes into some of these Tua Tagovailoa stats. We all remember the Miami Dolphins tanked for Tua. They traded away Minka Fitzpatrick. They traded away Laremy Tunsil. They didn't have their best receiving options were Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant, guys who are just not even NFL receivers currently on the roster. Now you look at what's going on with the Dolphins right now. Tua Tagovailoa, you're going to be throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and Mike Gesicki is going into his fourth year for the Miami Dolphins as a tight end. I think it's blasphemy. I think it's really laughable to say that Colin Kaepernick, a guy who's been out of the league for 5 years, we don't know, he hasn't faced an NFL defense. He hasn't faced a live defense period, not just an NFL defense, but a live defense period. He hasn't in 5 years that he would be a better option for the Miami Dolphins than Tua Tagovailoa. So I'm a little bit puzzled by that opinion. I know if you stick with us on Tide 100.9 and listen to the Jay Barker Show, Lars Anderson is a massive, massive, massive Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio hater. He thinks he's a despicable journalist, which I kind of agree with. I think that he's very, he's unreliable and he's an aggregator, which, I mean, we aggregate sometimes as well, but I think that there's some room for that. But Mike Florio has a lot of sources where he has options to not aggregate. He has options to basically be to pick up the phone and call some people. And I also think that he doesn't really do a good job of framing the aggregation. So we're going to take a break right here. JR, I see you on hold. We're going to take a short little break right here, and we'll bring you into this conversation. JR, is Mike Florio on drugs suggesting Colin Kaepernick it would be a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa? I think he needs a drug test wherever he is. So this is Off the Edge. I'm Joe Cather. That's JR Moore. We are getting things going on Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You've probably seen their clothing around town on game days, but check out Christopher Mobley on the Strip. It's luxury game day apparel redefined. It's the only place in town where you can find Tide Hoops apparel. Clothing designed for the modern day entrepreneur, golf enthusiast, and athleisure fanatic. They've got Peter Millar, Viore, Grayson, and Mizzen & Main. And if you haven't tried the Mizzen & Main dress shirts, you've got to. You can find them at 1410 University Boulevard on the Strip. Also, they've got a great e-commerce site at ChristopherMobley.shop. So check out Christopher Mobley, luxury game day apparel redefined.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Work is a part of all of us. We know that the world around us has changed, and that's why the Alabama Department of Labor is here to get you back to working hard. Work is a part of all of us. Let us help you get back to it by visiting your local career center or alabamaworks.alabama.gov.
Funding provided by the USDOL, ETA, and Federal WIOA, and Equal Opportunity Employer Program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request. Brought to you by this station and the Alabama Broadcasters Association.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today around 80. Tonight clear with the low at 59. For the weekend, a warming trend. A good supply of sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. The high tomorrow, 84. The high Sunday at 89. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Ooh, hey, hey. Oh,
we're living in. Let me tell ya. And it's a world that man can eat at all. When things are big, that should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving up my love to this world, only to be told. I can't see, I can't breathe.
Welcome back into Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9. JR spinning the records and taking your phone calls on the other side. We are keeping our eye on Hoover, Alabama. It's going to be a full day of baseball. This forecast looks great. So if you're worried about getting up there today, if you're worried about the schedule, as a lot of us have been, don't worry about it today. We're getting them all in. I think the only thing slowing down baseball today is if we go extra innings. But I'm looking forward to getting up to the Hoover Met, and you should too. Make sure you listen to the ball game, Alabama and Texas A&M, at 4:30, 4:25 start time for that ball game. And you can hear it right here on Tide 100.9 and the Tide 100.9 app. Ryan Fowler going to have an early day as he goes off to vacation today. So turn it over to Chris Stewart and Roger Hoover and the gang with Crimson Tide Sports Network. So we opened up the last segment asking if Mike Florio is out of line by suggesting that Colin Kaepernick is a better quarterback option than anyone on the Dolphins. Taking out my man Tua Tagovailoa. He's taken out the Seahawks, the Panthers, the Texans, and the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't really care about defending any of those franchises or their quarterbacks. But I will defend my man Tua Tagovailoa, as I think the Dolphins are finally supplying him with some weapons, some protection, and some options. And I think that Mike Florio was just looking for a little fire to stoke by including Tua Tagovailoa. You can call in and jump in on the topic on the Alabama Vintage Hotline at 205-342-9904. That's where we find our friend JR. JR, you're off the edge. What's going on this morning?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, having a great day so far. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Great stuff,
man.
I
had another topic on mine, but I will.
That's okay. I'll follow you wherever you want to go.
I will briefly comment on Kaepernick. I think it's a publicity stunt by Las Vegas trying to get attention towards their team, because there's no way there's just no way that he's going to be any kind of productive quarterback at this point. Whether he has the potential to, maybe after a while, but I just wish he would disappear. I almost forgot his name. I mean, now it's back up there. I mean, anyway.
Well, JR, to your point, I wonder, you're going to get a lot of positive publicity for bringing Kaepernick in. And Josh McDaniels was asked about the workout, and he said, I'm not going to comment on the workout. We'll comment on players if they get added to the roster. But what, you know, some of my buddies are saying, oh, they're looking for positive publicity because something bad's going to happen, you know, with the Raiders here soon. Well, what happened? What also happened this week with the Raiders was John Gruden won a very, very significant kind of ruling from the judge in his case, basically against the NFL and the Las Vegas Raiders. The judge ruled that they would be able to have a trial by jury and allow discovery in the trial, which essentially means a slam dunk win for John Gruden, because the NFL is not going to allow that trial to go to discovery and find out all the bad things that the NFL has kind of covered up in that instance. And so I think that you might be onto something about the trying to drum up some positive publicity.
Yeah, and maybe divert some attention away from all the other problems.
Sure.
But anyway, now back to what I was initially wanting to try to talk about.
Let's go.
I was going to get on you a little bit about the NIL and the transfer portal, as they both seemingly have had some significant problems here early on. And I know when this was even mentioned earlier, when it was mentioned and before it ever became a fact, that I disagreed with it, and I believe you were adamantly for it, but I couldn't be for sure.
Yep, you're correct.
Well, anyway, I just was against it from day one. I heard about it. I said it was going to be bad for college football. I think that, and I think it has been. And now maybe some things can be worked out, but I still feel like what I said earlier was that What about the other players, the rest of the players? I mean, so what? They're in the trenches and they're working their tails off, and they don't get all the tension that, you know, star players would. So to give a star player a bunch of money and leave out the people that are actually doing the hard work for them, enable them to do those things. So I think the money should be split among all the players in the team. I mean, every single NIL deal, just everybody gets a piece of the pie. As far as other sports are concerned, it'd be kind of hard to do that with basketball. If one player gets a good NIL deal, it wouldn't be, you know, every player would, you know, there's not as many, near as many players as there is on the football team. Thus, you would have a split more thing. But I think maybe that would be where you could just involve the rest of teams that are small team numbers, and just all those sports split up the rest of the NIL deals. I don't know how whether you caught on to that or not. But I just don't think it's right, and it's just causing more problems than what we are seeing. It's causing inside the team problems. I mean, I just feel like it's inevitable.
Has it caused any inside the team problems that you know of?
Well, we don't hear everything. No, I hadn't heard anything much about it. I kind of thought there would be, you know, some problems that would surface, but I haven't heard anything. But I just feel like it's got to. How would you feel if you were there and you made the play that enabled that player to make a gigantic run, or, you know, block for the quarterback, enable him to make touchdown passes, and they get nothing?
Well, I think that here's what I think about that. If on the surface, I have no jealousy towards Ryan Fowler in the afternoon. Ryan Fowler, the superstar that he is, has, you know, probably some of the best sponsorship deals on the station. And I realize that, you know, where I am in the pecking order, where I am basically in that framework of our little world, if you want to kind of, you know, make comparisons. And the same can be true in pretty much any organization. The top salesman in the business makes a lot of the money. The same can be said in pretty much any profession. The top star makes a lot of the money, and you know, the peons like myself aren't doing that. And so, you know, I have to do more work, and I have to grind more to get on the level of you know, somebody that is like a Ryan Fowler type. I think that's a natural part of the world that we live in. And isn't college a kind of a way to learn about how the world works, an educational experience of how the world works?
It is. And I believe that that's what they're there to learn, is, you know, how to make a future for themselves. But they aren't there to play and earn money. People go to school to learn, get educated. And the football program is helping them build themselves up for the possibility of playing in the upper league. I just feel like it's a bad move, you know, paying players in college football. They already get a scholarship.
JR's, my man JR's is making a joke.
I was making a Cardell Jones joke. I ain't come here to play school.
Yeah, Cardell Jones, you remember from Ohio State, said, you know, we didn't come here to play school. They're all coming here. These major universities, it is a business for these players.
It more or less is. I mean, who knows what all's been happening behind the scenes over the years before NIL came up.
Yep.
And so, therefore, you know, this is the attempt to make a legal way of doing it, but it's kind of blown up in their face right now.
Well, JR, I want to ask you this: if NIL in its current form doesn't work, they're not going to be able to take the proverbial toothpaste back in the tube, that sort of thing. Put the cat back in the bag. The players will continue to get paid, but if NIL in its current form doesn't work, then the financial burden will likely fall on the schools and on the universities, and that's not what they want at all. That's not what they want.
Well, that's true. But where I was talking about it being a problem is like Jimbo Fisher did. He used the NIL to benefit by offering players, this is what you can get, This is what you will get if you come to Texas A&M. Now, we know he did that. And he, you know, he claims that, oh, he did nothing wrong. Well, in the state of Texas, maybe he didn't.
So why does Nick Saban tell everybody, well, our players made $3 million last year? Why is he saying that?
Exactly right. He boasted about that. I realize that.
So Nick Saban's doing the same thing, just using different verbiage, knowing, oh, if I go to Alabama, you know, that their roster made about $3 million. I'll probably have a pretty good opportunity to make some of that $3 million.
Well, at least he's not going out to the players personally. I mean, not necessarily personally, but, I mean, making offers to players.
That we know of, you know, just because Nick Saban hasn't said that.
I just believe more in Nick Saban than that. I just don't believe he has to do that. I mean,
well, I agree. He doesn't have to do that. He has a lot of other things that he can sell. He can sell, our players have made $1.7 billion in the NFL. He can sell 6 national championships. He can sell great facilities. He can sell Bryant-Denny Stadium. Those are all things that he's been selling for 15 years. Well, now NIL is just the newest resource, the newest element in recruiting that he needs to master and learn how to sell. And part of him that is saying, oh, well, our players made $3 million on NIL last year. He's learning that as well.
Yeah, well, I just think there's got to be some issues ironed out. One is they can't be more or less they're paying players to come to their team, and you're not supposed to be able to advertise that to players to get them to come to your. I mean, that's a NCAA. Violation.
Well, who cares what the NCAA says, JR? They ain't got no teeth. They got nothing. LSU didn't care what they said.
I know. Ever since Auburn got away with Cam Newton,
yeah,
the NCAA has been nothing.
Exactly. So who cares what they have to say?
Pretty much every big school looks at NCAA violation and just says, ha, 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 Greg, put it on my tab.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, for football.
That's a sad thing, though.
For football specifically, we're under jurisdiction of college football playoff now. We don't care what NCAA says.
Well, I do. I agree they sometimes – in the past, they went a little bit too far with stuff like the probations they put on Alabama's football team. That was out of line. And but nonetheless, that's looking through crimson-colored glasses. But
JR, man, I appreciate you, man, brother. You got one more comment before I let you go? I got a couple callers backed up. No, it's good. Sure. No, I appreciate it.
My comment would only be that I appreciate you talking with me about it. And this time it was a lot more civil.
Oh.
I got a little bit heated at you once.
That's okay. I can take the heat, JR. It's all good, my friend. Hope you
have a great
weekend. Absolutely.
Likewise.
Roll Tide. That's JR on the hotline. We're going to take Max right here, and George and Macon, you'll be next. Max and Tupelo, you're off the edge. How you doing, my friend?
Good, Joe. How are you, man?
Oh, not too bad. Enjoying this baseball. Florida up 7-2. They're about to knock out Woo Pig Suey.
I think we'll beat either one of them, man.
Yeah,
we got Arkansas next, right?
We have Texas A&M today. Texas A&M at 4:30.
Yeah, and then we would play the winner of that game, right?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I believe so.
I think our bats are getting hot. I think we're on a roll. I think we can get it done, man.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to see. I mean, they're on the fire right now. Everything's broken well for the baseball team so far. Max, did you hear what Mike Florio said about Colin Kaepernick being a better option for the Miami Dolphins than Tua Tagovailoa? Is he on crack?
He's eating psilocybin mushrooms, brother. Come on, man. Now that they got Tua some weapons and they got him a little protection. Look what Colin Kaepernick did the past couple of years that he played. You know, that one year he did go to the Super Bowl. I'll give him that. But the past couple of years that he played, he was mediocre at best. And then Tua comes back in and gets his team to a winning record. And now he's got weapons. And the dude ain't played in 5 years. Like, how could you make that statement unless you're just wanting to pull a Colin Cowherd and make a hot take? I mean,
Yeah, I don't understand it because, I mean, I would understand it more if we've seen Cap play in the USFL or XFL or CFL, play some sort of football. Well, we haven't seen him play any football except for, you know, a T-shirt and shorts on a workout field. And to me, that doesn't count. I don't care about that. So not playing any football of any kind facing a live defense, I don't know how you draw that conclusion.
And the last times he played, he was mediocre at best and was disrespecting my American flag, which that's a totally different subject. We'll leave that alone. I don't know how you can make that statement in a football sense. It just doesn't add up, man.
Oh, no, I think when I read that, I thought, you're insane. I mean, he put down Marcus Mariota, which Marcus Mariota hadn't been a great quarterback. He put down a lot of average to below average quarterbacks, and JR was asking me, do I believe that Colin Kaepernick is not one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world? And I don't know that I can make that statement, but I don't think that I can buy that he is. Like without seeing him for 5 years, I don't know. And so I don't really feel comfortable saying he's, you know, oh, he is or he isn't. I think he's got to get on the field. You got to get into some sort of competition for us to understand that. I think if you're saying he's better than any of these quarterbacks that are currently playing in the NFL, I don't know. I think you're just taking a pretty bold bet.
I can't say that. Joe Burrow's better. Mac Jones is definitely better.
Yep.
Tua's better. Give Tua a shot, man. The dude's been riddled with injuries. Now he's finally got something around him. They got to get off my boy Tua, man. He'll prove him wrong because not only his physical ability, Tua's never going to bring negative attention to your football team. If anything, it's positive. The kid's a great young man. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of negativity with Colin Kaepernick or whatever.
100%.
Yeah. I ain't going to tell you what my son calls it. But.
to your point, we never knew that, oh my gosh, who was JR, the Dolphins coach last year? We never knew that they weren't getting along last year. Blind Forest. Yes, we never knew in the media that they weren't getting along or didn't see eye to eye until after Brian Flores was fired, and basically, you know, Tua wasn't really the one to let on about that. It was kind of reports and anonymous reports and people doing some journalistic things finding out about that, and Tua didn't really want to address that in the media as the classy man that he is.
Well, dude, from what I know of Tua, and I don't know him personally, but just from everything I've read and I've studied, if you can't get along with that dude, you're probably an ass.
I think you're right. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this year with a real NFL offense around him, honestly. I think the last 2 years, they've been kind of makeshift offense, makeshift weapons. I mean, come on, you're throwing to Albert Wilson your rookie year. Who the heck is that guy? They literally had nothing his rookie year. Last year with Waddle was better. This year with Waddle, Hill, and Gesicki will be even better.
Some really bad drops, too, just – overall.
Oh yeah, you see the clip from Jakeem Grant, like his first year, where he drops that diamond 50 yards down the field right through his hands.
Dude, he's got two burners this year, and man, I watched him at Alabama very closely, and I've paid attention and broken down the sport since I was a little bitty kid because my father was a huge football guy. He was a quarterback. He taught me at a very early age of what I was seeing and why they were doing what they were doing. I watched Tua make some absolutely incredible throws at Alabama, one after another.
Yeah.
The boy can do it. And now he's got two burners. Everybody's going to see.
I'm looking forward to seeing his season and Jalen Hurts now that they both got a lot of weapons. I think that they're going to silence a lot of doubters this year, Max.
Yeah, and I'm pulling for Jalen too, man. I like that kid. He's a great ambassador for the University of Alabama. I wish him well.
Absolutely. Max, I got to hit the break. I got George and Macon. Anything else I can? You want to talk about today?
No, I just would love to tell you, roll tide, my friend.
Roll tide, Max and Tupelo. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be. I hope you get an extended weekend with you and your family.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's Max and Tupelo joining us on Off the Edge. We're going to take our break right here. George and Macon, we're going to come to you next, and we'll close down the hour right here on Off the Edge on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
My caretaker was very rough with me. I thought they did it because I wasn't moving fast enough.
Elder abuse is a crime, and together we can stop it. If you or someone you know has been abused, neglected, or exploited, call the Adult Abuse Hotline at 1-800-458-7214. That's 1-800-458-7214. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Human Resources, the Department of Justice, ADECA Grant Number 18-VA-VS-050, the ABA, and this state.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectricalabama.com to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the Alabama Clean Fuels Coalition, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today around 80. Tonight clear with a low at 59. For the weekend, a warming trend. A good supply of sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. The high tomorrow, 84. The high Sunday at 89. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Welcome back into Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9. Joe Gaither and J.R. Moore hanging out with you guys, getting you ready for a big Memorial Day weekend. Looking forward to that. Whew. We're going to be just a little programming update. We are going to be off on Monday. We will be back at it on Tuesday to gas bag and let you know everything that's going on from the weekend on Tuesday. So we can't wait for an extra day. Probably going to hit the golf, play some golf poorly. But we'll have some fun, and it'll be a good weekend, and I hope you and yours have a good weekend as well. We've been talking a lot about Colin Kaepernick versus Tua Tagovailoa today, and had a short mini discussion about Alabama baseball. Crimson Tide set to take on Texas A&M at 4:30 right here on Tide 100.9, and you can see it on the SEC Network as well. Going to head back out to the hotline and find our friend George in Macon. George, what's happening? You're off the edge, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you, my friend?
Oh, having a great day so far. It's Friday.
Yeah, a couple of comments. One, you know, I don't even think that Colin Kaepernick was a starter. You know, I think that he was already demoted before he did the knee thing with the flag. So I don't understand, you know, all this conversation that he could be that Tua. Plus, another thing, I do not understand why Tua is such a target for everybody to hate on.
How many Super Bowls has Tua made it to?
What now?
He asked how many Super Bowls has Tua made it to in his two seasons playing with the bum Miami Dolphins. Come on, JR.
How many national championships has Colin Kaepernick been to?
Out of Utah? How many did they make
Nevada,
it?
Nevada.
It was
Nevada.
His choice. It was his choice where he went to school.
Yeah,
was it not?
It is. It was his largely it is. Now, and I think that, JR, you're being a little disingenuous there with how many Super Bowls has he been to. No, Colin Kaepernick's career completion percentage is 59.8%. Tua, in 2 years, his career completion percentage is 66%. So about 7-8 points higher than Colin Kaepernick. And yes, the 49ers were supported by a very, very, very good defense during his time with the 49ers.
Absolutely. But also, I just don't understand why Tua is such a target. I mean, you know, you could say that he could beat out any of the freshman quarterbacks or the sophomore quarterbacks that have played the last 2 years. Because most of them have had a pretty rough time except Mac Jones and Joe Burrow. I mean, Lawrence. I mean, gosh, he's had a horrible year, but a lot of that is attributed to the team that's around him.
I don't understand.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to talk about this disingenuous comment, considering that Colin Kaepernick made it to the Super Bowl in his second season as an NFL pro.
Was he playing with a... No, he didn't. He didn't play. It was his second year starting.
2012.
13, actually. I'm looking at it right here, my guy.
He
didn't play his first year. He played in three games his first year. So he took a little redshirt year.
But you made it seem like Colin Kaepernick had been in the league for 17 years before he finally got to a Super Bowl.
Go ahead, George.
I mean, listen, just like like Mac Jones, he hit the right position at the right time and the right coaching and the right team. You know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, back then when Harbaugh did a lot of RPOs, and that's what Colin Kaepernick is very, very good at that point in time. When he had good receivers, he had a good line, and, he did a good job. But as the time wore on, people knew how to defense him. And I do think, am I wrong, that he was already demoted before he did the knee thing with the flag? I don't think it was first string right then and there. So from that point on, you know, his career disintegrated for a lot of different reasons, not only because of the people that didn't agree with what he did, but because of his skill set was not as good as it was prior to that year. But it still does not tell me why everybody wants to hate on Tua.
That's a great question, and I don't really have a good answer for you, George. I wonder if it's because he's left-handed. I mean, let's be really silly here. Is it because he's left-handed? Is it because here's where a couple of my friends come down on? They think that he's soft. They think that he's not he's not made for a 17-game schedule. Which I mean, that an argument could be made there. He played in 13 of the 17 games last year, and he got set for a couple of games because of hand or finger injury last year, but I don't think that that's really fair based off a massive hip injury in 2019 and then playing behind a terrible offensive line over the last 2 years. I don't really think that that's fair. But a couple of my friends who come down against Tua just say, "Oh, I wouldn't trust him because he can't stay healthy." I don't really know why the NFL. You know, the insiders, the people who watch the NFL closely and follow it, come down that way. A lot of people use the argument, "Oh, he doesn't pass down the field." Well, look at his weapons over the last 2 years. I mean, yes,
absolutely.
Waddle's a great weapon, but they're running little 5-yard drag routes for Jalen Waddle all year last year because Tua didn't have enough time to get it to him down the field. I think you're going to see a big change in Tua's game this year. With the weapons and the offensive line.
I think that you're going to see a better Tua than you've seen prior 2 years because I think he's going to have a good jump. And another thing, the NIL thing, I think the big reason is that, first off, if he started playing football at Pop Warner League or whatever it is, the quarterback and the running back and the receivers are always going to get more pub and they're probably going to always get more money or whatever. But my problem is that as a high school player, giving them $1 million before they even touch the school, before they even played anywhere, I think if I was showing some type of envy, that's where the envy I would show, is that I'm a junior, been fighting and getting beat up, and then someone who hasn't even played a game gets $500,000 or $1 million. That would be where my envy is, and I think that's where the problem being. I mean, that's why they switched, you know, in pro football, they have the steps of where, you know, before I think Safford was the last quarterback to get, what, paid. $30 or $40 million. Yes. Before he even played a game.
They implemented the rookie wage scale, I think, in 2011 or 12.
Yeah.
And I think it's been very effective. And I think you that's the place where you are going to find the jealousy. The seniors who – the juniors and seniors who, you know, are not fresh in the NIL game versus the freshmen who are basically the freshmen this year are hitting college at the perfect time as opposed to the seniors 2 years ago. So they get kind of screwed.
And Joe, I mean, you know, I guess because I'm a big Alabama fan and we've been winning the last 14 years, I don't want to see change because we've been highly successful. But change is going to come and it's already here. And we just got to do what we can do better than everybody else, like Coach Saban says. But I think that if there's any, the popular thing now is to say guardrails. I think going out there with a collective and bidding on a player before they even go to college, I think that's where I agree with you. I think that's where you might see a little bit of change. But listen, thank you. Oh. I'm so happy about the baseball team. I mean, everybody was getting on the Bo Hannon, and now I guess he can get a few people off his back saying it's time for a change there.
Absolutely. George, I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Thanks for hanging out with us on Off the Edge today. That's George and Macon joining us on Off the Edge, and we really appreciate everybody hanging out. JR, Max and Tupelo, and George. And I thank you, JR, for playing all the great music. Stick around with us on Tide 100.9. We're coming up with the Jay Barker Show. Jay Barker and Matt Coulter, they're going to hang out and talk a lot about NIL. They're going to talk about Brian Harsin's comments from last night in Louisiana, I believe he was. And we're going to hear Ryan Fowler at 2 o'clock. He's going to bring you the game. It'll be a little abbreviated version of the game as Alabama baseball on Tide 100.9 will be here at 4:30. You'll hear Chris Stewart, Roger Hoover, and the gang. Alabama versus Texas A&M. It'll be the first chance for Alabama to draw blood in the heightened rivalry that is the Crimson Tide and the Aggies. We'll have to see what happens over the weekend. I hope you and yours enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. We will be back with you on Tuesday right here on Tide 100.9. Just go ahead now, and if you like to tell me, baby, just go ahead now, and if you wanna buy me flowers, just go ahead.